Tonight I'd like to bring a message entitled Instant Obedience. We're going to move rather quickly because we have a meeting after this that we want to take care of. But instant obedience. Father says to his son, come here, son. Okay, dad, just a minute. Did you ever hear that? Just a minute. And the boy finally does get there and he says, yeah, dad. He says, well, never mind now, son. I was going to send you across the street and get us an ice cream cone, but they just closed. So we miss out on the blessings because we're not immediately obedient. Of course, that applies. That illustration is just to say that's how it is in life. If we do not obey God immediately, we'll definitely miss out on a number of blessings. We cheat ourselves out of the blessings of God when we don't obey instantly. God says, son, go over and witness to your neighbor, Mike, we'll say. Okay, Lord, I'll go tomorrow. You get there tomorrow. And you might find Mike's wife there with tears in her eyes and say, well, he had a stroke last night. And he's not able to talk with you now. But I talked to him a little bit last night and he was so open. He knew something wasn't right and he wanted to talk about the Lord. But I'm not sure if he understood. Wouldn't that break your heart? If God sent you to a place and you delayed and lost the blessing, and perhaps this man would lose his life and not have Christ. We live in a world of instant everything, don't we? We require instant everything. Microwaves. Do you remember when we used to cook on charcoal? Do you still do that, anybody here, to cook on charcoal? I like charcoal, but it's not instant, is it? You have to go out there and pile it up and soak it with lighter fluid and you let it burn for 15 or 20 minutes. It gets ashy. You spread them out, put your thing. Oh, it's a, oh, wow. But it's kind of nice to go out there and turn the gas. And the gas burns, and in about 5 minutes or less, you could drop your things. We like instant everything. Microwaves, right? Microwaves. Our computers. We like our computers, our electronics, to be fast. Right now, and this is not a joke, this is literal, we measure our waiting time in milliseconds. You can get statistics about computers. And if you have to wait over so many milliseconds, how much is a milliseconds? A thousandth of a second. So many milliseconds and your computer needs to be replaced. When I first got a computer, I thought, I don't mind if I have to wait 30 seconds. You know, it's better than me having to do it myself. But now, you know, like everybody else, I sort of get irritated if my computer blinks one time and I have to wait for the blink. It's in milliseconds. But that's how we're programmed. We want everything instantaneously. We require it. Perhaps there is one thing, though, that we don't require instant. And that is an obedience to God. Isn't that sad? We want everything that has to do with us. We want it now. We don't want to wait milliseconds. But when it comes to God and God's word and what God says, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And we will later. That's how we look at it. The Bible and obedience. I'm going to give you 6 points. Just write them down real quickly. They all start the same way. Obedience is inseparable or inseparably linked to. And the number one thing is faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he did what? He obeyed. So there you have faith and obedience linked together. He went out not knowing whither he went. So we obey God because we believe. And when we don't obey God, it's probably because we really don't take God seriously. Now you think about that. God gives us instruction and we feel like it's okay if we wait. It's okay if we don't do it, perhaps. Maybe we don't believe God will actually follow through with his promise or he will bless us if we do this. Faith and belief are connected. We obey because we believe. There was a man, I read this in a tract. Actually, it was made into a tract. It said on the front, I'll pay your bills. Did anybody ever see that? It's a man in New York City, and it was told as a true story in the tract. I don't know if it was or not. But he says on this billboard, On the side of a building in New York City, it said on the billboard, "I'll pay your bills." December 22nd, he gave a time and he said, "Be there." And on under that, it said, "Bring your bills." And everybody saw that billboard and they thought, "Well, that's a hoax." Everybody but one man. One man took his bills and he knocked on this apartment. And the man came to his door and he said, "Are you the guy that says you'll pay bills?" He said, "I am. Come in." And he opened his door and this man went in and he said, "Did you bring your bills?" He said, "I did." And he said, "Well, let me see them." And he took care of all of this man's. He paid off his debt. He went back out so excited that his debts were paid. He went out and he told all of his friends. And of course, they came later to this man's house, knocked on his doors, and he came to the door and said, "Are you the guy that's paying everybody's bills?" I was at such and such a time. But that time's passed. That time's passed now. Use the illustration for this. We obey God because we believe what He says. If I'll sow the seed, He'll cause it to germinate and grow, right? If I'll sow the gospel, then He'll work in the heart of the individual to convince them that they're sinners. And so many other things God has told us that He'll do. He said, "I'll take care of your needs. If you'll put me first, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the things will be added that you're looking for." Do you believe it? Belief makes us obey. If we don't obey, it's probably because we really don't believe. Secondly, obedience. And this is Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 18. Obedience is inseparably linked to blessing. God blesses those who obey. He spent so much time telling Israel that, showing Israel that. I believe and I do what God says. I obey and God blesses. He says in 22:18 of Genesis, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Who's he speaking to in Genesis 22?
Abraham.
To Abraham. He's promising to Abraham that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In the last part of verse 18, "because thou hast obeyed my voice." So there is a verse that links obedience to blessing. We obey God, He blesses us. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice." We obey because we seek His blessing. Earthly fathers do that too, don't they? If our children obey us, we like doing things for them. If they disobey, well, that's the next point. Obedience is inseparably linked to chastening. You're familiar with that verse probably in Hebrews chapter 12 that says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Do you know that verse? "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." So the Lord chastens those that He loves. Well, what does He chasten them for? Well, sin or disobedience, right? Disobedience. So here we have a verse, Hebrews 12:6, where obedience is linked to chastening. Disobey, Christians, God's gonna chasten us. Don't we earthly fathers do that? We ought to. The Bible says we ought to. Spare the rod and we'll spoil the child. Earthly fathers do as much. Fourthly, obedience is inseparably linked to our deliverance from the bondage that sin creates in our life. And I'll ask you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and let's take a look at this passage. We'll read several verses here, so you might want to turn. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans 6:12. Obedience here is linked to that deliverance from sin in our life. Told the ladies at the Bible study last night, we have the penalty of sin. Christ dealt with that on the cross. It's over with. If you've received Christ, then you'll never face the penalty of sin. The power of sin, though, is still very present. And if we're not careful, we can fall into sin. We can stumble into sin, and it will make a slave of us in a moment. Can you relate? Do you know what I'm saying? Sin will make a slave of you in a moment. Think pornography, amen. You see pornography, and in a minute, your body chemistry changes. Ladies, maybe you don't know that. You ought to. Your body chemistry changes. And you could be a slave to that after just a little bit of yielding to temptation. So how do you avoid it? You don't yield to the temptation, right? You don't allow yourself to go there because it's a dangerous place, and you will find yourself in bondage. Are there things like that for ladies? There's things like that for all of us. Okay, we all have our personal weaknesses, the sin that would so easily beset us, and it will make a slave out of you. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." So you see it there? Verse 12. Now I'm going to verse 16 and continue. Verse 16, Romans 6, 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So you see the connection there? We obey so that sin will not become our master. That's the thing about us believers. We have a will. We choose our own master. We are born servants. God created us to be servants. But isn't it something? He allows us to choose our own master. And if you allow sin to be your master, you will become its slave very quickly. Number 5, obedience is inseparably linked to our fellowship with one another. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. If you want to turn. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," note that man, "and what? Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." If any man obey not our word, mark him. Note that man, and don't have company with him if he's not going to do right. So we obey, can I say, so we can have fellowship with those who obey. We can have fellowship one with another, because if I start doing wrong, the Bible tells you should not fellowship with me. If I will not obey, then you need to steer clear of me. Now, before you do that, please come and tell me about it. Let's talk through this. We're supposed to do that too. But if somebody won't listen, remember Matthew 18? If they won't listen, you go back and take some witnesses with you. If they won't listen to them, you take it before the church. And then what do? You withdraw fellowship from them. Somebody said, "Well, you don't ostracize people. That's what the Amish do." And they do. They kick them out of society. Our purpose would not be to get rid of them, though, right? What's our purpose if that should? Restoration. That's the biblical thing. But why would God have us to divide from those who sin? Why would it be wrong if we allowed somebody to come to our church and enjoy our fellowship and take them under our arms, so to speak, and they're living in sin? Why would that be wrong? Why would it be bad? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You see, so it's to protect the purity. It's not because we don't like them. It's because they will affect everybody else. Think children here. They'll affect the children of the church and the young couples and the teens. And so obedience is linked to our fellowship. We have to be obedient. And we owe it to one another. If I see that you're disobedient, I need to knock on your door. And you need to do the same for each other. And we help each other that way. There are a lot of negative examples around. As I was thinking of this, I just wrote down some names, and I won't say their whole name, but there was a young man named Andrew, another older gentleman named Blaine, his daughter Jenna, a young lady that Mary Jean and I worked with, Rachel, another one whose name was Grace, and I could keep going. People that in times past, fellowship with them would not have been good to the church because they chose a different path. They chose to walk in darkness. I can't go there. And you can't go there. So obedience is inseparably linked to our fellowship one with another. And lastly, obedience is inseparably linked to our fellowship and our usability with God. Our usability. I'm thinking of Exodus chapter 19. If you want to turn back there, I'll read it. If you don't, Exodus 19... it's actually the Mosaic Covenant. It applies to Israel. Okay, but it also reveals to us how God works. God didn't change. This covenant was because of his character, and it continues because of his character. Look at it. Obedience is inseparably linked to our fellowship and our usability. There's probably a better word than that, but that's the one I thought of. Exodus 19 and verse 5, our usefulness. How about that? To God. Verse 5 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." God says, if you'll obey me, you'll be a treasure to me. We don't often look at our lives from God's perspective, but God looks down upon us. And he has reached out to his creation that's separated and lost from him. He's reached out to his creation and he wants to clean us up. He wants to make us who are so unrighteous. He wants to give us Christ's righteousness. And don't you imagine that the Lord could be, not in a bad sense, that he could be proud of his servant, Job? He was, wasn't he? Hey, devil. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Danny? You ever think about, would God be proud of what he's done in our lives? If we'll be obedient, he will. We'll be a peculiar treasure to him. And we'll have that fellowship that affords us. And we'll be usable before him, because God uses those who are close to him. So we obey so that we might have opportunity to live in his presence. We obey so that we might have the opportunity to be effective as tools in the master's hands. Tools in the master's hands. We have to be careful to obey. And we have to be careful not to allow pride to get in the way when we obey and God uses us. Then it's God, right? It's not us, not me, not you. It's God who does it. Employees who do things right, they do them quickly, completely, they'll be given more responsibility. And they'll be given more pay, too. Because they can take it. They're responsible people. We need to be responsible with God, and that starts with obedience. Real quickly now, I want to talk to you about obedience by degrees. There's disobedience. That's saying no to God. Did you ever see a little child say to his mom or dad, "No"? Did you ever see it? You saw it. Okay, I've seen it too. We think maybe when we say no to God, it's something less than that. Maybe because we don't see God. You know, he's not our heavenly Father who stands over us in his gray beard and looks down upon us. No, he's somewhere. No, he's not, is he? He's not somewhere else. He's everywhere present. When we say no to God, it's no less serious than that little boy spitting back into the face of his mother or father. No. And we don't have to say it in that tone of voice. No. Disobedience. And then we go from there to delayed obedience. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, but delayed. We're going to be obedient, but it's got to fit our timetable, Lord. Now, where I learned that doesn't work, had a good object lesson, was in college. Because they gave you all your work on a syllabus when you went the first day. You got these papers to do. You got a lot of writing, got a lot of collateral reading to do. And you can do it or not. You can wait till the last week and try to do all the papers and all the reading in 1 week. And some people did. And they couldn't quite get done. And they had to write on their paper that they didn't get all their collateral reading done, but they'll have it done by... And the teacher said, that's not good enough. This is the deadline. And so they would have gotten an A, but now they got a C. Delayed obedience. There are a lot of examples of that in the Bible of individuals, but let's look at the grand scale. How about Israel? Delayed obedience. They've come up to the promised land. Moses is their great leader, and he says, okay, there's the land, go get it. They sent in 12 spies. 10 of them came back and gave an evil report, and 2 gave a good report, you recall. And they, we're going to do it, Lord. And the Lord said, okay. Then you need to go back that way and wander in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. 20 years old and upward, they're going to die. They're carcasses. I like the way God said, your carcasses are going to fall in the desert. Delayed obedience. What did it cost them? A lot. Cost them everything, didn't it? Some of them never got to see the promised land because of their delayed obedience. And why did they delay? They didn't believe God. That's why they delayed. We go from disobedience to delayed obedience to incomplete obedience. I'm just trying to give it to you in degrees because you'll find yourself somewhere here. Incomplete obedience, defined as doing only a part of what God asks. Doing what God wants, but doing it your way, maybe. God says, get involved in Mike's life. And rather than you're getting involved, I'll write him a letter. No, that's not what God wants. He wants you to get involved. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to mingle with Mike and his family, your neighbor. Maybe you don't have a neighbor Mike. Just a name out of thin air. Maybe this incomplete obedience is doing what you want along with what God wants. God says, okay, I want you to give $100 to that. And you say, okay, Lord, and you give $50 and a bicycle, an old bicycle that's worth $60 more. Well, God didn't want a bicycle. We do things, it's incomplete obedience. It's not doing what God said. Now, silly illustrations, perhaps, but I'll let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks. Incomplete obedience. Biblical example is Saul. He didn't kill the Amalekites, remember? What is meant by the bleeding of the sheep? Do you have to say, to my knowledge, I've done everything God has asked me to do at Corinth Baptist Church? Well, except what? That exception is incomplete obedience. From incomplete obedience, we go to complete obedience. Doing what God says, his time, his way. Noah did it, built an ark. For the saving of his family's souls. Abraham, the Lord said, leave your home. Genesis chapter 12. He said, sacrifice your son on Mount Moriah. What did he do? He drew his knife. Moses, I want you to go before Pharaoh. What did he do? He went before Pharaoh. Elijah. In 2 Kings, the story of Elijah, I preached this sometime as a message. God said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. What did he do? He got up and went to the brook Cherith. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow there who will sustain you. What did he do? He went to Zarephath. Elijah, I want you to go and show yourself to Ahab. What did he do? Though he was fearful, he went and showed himself to Ahab. So there are a lot of examples of this. What happens in every case? The blessing of God on his life. So the question would be this. Are you practicing complete, instant obedience? Obedience is inseparably linked to faith, to blessing, to chastening, to freedom from the power of sin over our lives, our fellowship one with another, and our fellowship and usefulness to the Lord. Your obedience could be described as disobedience, delayed obedience, incomplete obedience, or complete instant obedience. Food for thought. May the Lord bless it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity again to share your word. Father, we don't take for granted what a privileged people we are to be here tonight to hear your word proclaimed. We thank you for your Spirit who makes the application even as we hear it, reminds us of shortcomings, issues that we should deal with. Lord, please, I pray, bless this time tonight. I pray that you'd bless our business meeting, our time of prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.